This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Joining me right now is one of my favorite NFL analysts, Eric Edholm from NFL.com. You can follow him on X on Twitter, at Eric underscore Edholm, E-D-H-O-L-M. He just came out with his 3.0 mock draft version yesterday. Before we get into Washington and some of the other things that I wanted you to come on with, I was just talking about this report, I think, from Peter Schrager about teams interested in trading up to two or three, the Cleveland and the Giants spot for, you know, either Hunter, Carter, or Jeanty. And I said, yeah, Eric, it's one thing to take Ashton Jeanty in the top five, top 10, and it does speak to sort of where we are with running backs once again after years of sort of that, that position being in the wilderness. But trading up for Jeanty would be crazy to me. What do you say?
Yeah, it's still going to be something that a lot of people would push back on, and maybe for good reason. I mean, obviously, like you said, even if this running back in the run game in general has had a resurgence, you know, maybe two or three years from now, contracts will reflect that. But, you know, we obviously saw last year what the effect of a good run game can have on a team. And, anytime you go too far in one direction, it's going to swing back the other way. So that was understood. But I agree with you. I mean, most backfields are still manned by multiple guys. One back would have to be a pretty transcendent guy. I mean, we still debate whether Saquon was worth the number two pick in the draft, right? Even after a Super Bowl and, you know, the phenomenal season he had, there's still people who'd say, hey, look, maybe you can spend your resources better. So if it's Jeanty, yeah, I mean, I understand the pushback and I understand why people would feel that way. You know, obviously, I think he and Hunter and Carter are probably the three closest things to blue chip prospects in this class. The first two, sure, but Jeanty would be in that conversation too, I think. But I get why people are wondering about that.
Yeah, and let me be clear. Like, I think Jeanty's clearly the best running back, and I wouldn't take a running back in the first round unless I thought he could become, you know, a Barkley or a Bijan Robinson or a McCaffrey type. Yep. But trading a future first and a second day pick to move up to take a running back, depending, I'm wondering actually, who do you think it is? Because I suggested it could be Dallas as one of those teams.
I could see Denver too. Dallas doesn't seem like a team that has the same kind of urgency. I think, you know, if Jeanty was there on the board at 12, I think they'd have a real conversation. They'd probably consider him pretty strongly at that spot. I don't think they're in the market for moving up. I could be wrong. They've kind of valued their picks in recent years. We haven't seen the late 90s Jerry of swinging up. He's really, you know, trusted Will McClay and his scouting staff. Not to say it's not possible, but it would, even with Brian Schottenheimer there, a guy who loves the run game, obviously everything kind of gets married off of that. To me, that's a little bit of a reach. But Denver, I'll say this. I called somebody there probably a month ago or a little less, and I can tell you they have big aspirations this year.
Yeah.
You know, the first-round playoff loss was disappointing, but they feel like they're one or two guys away from really putting the Spurs to the likes of the Chiefs in that division. So I don't know. I mean, it would be a jump to go from 20 to 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever to try to get Genty.
By the way, for those wondering, I mean, because Dallas is in the division, they did add Javonte Williams, who I think is talented. He's just never been available enough, and Miles Sanders. So their running back situation is probably better than it's been. We'll see. All right.
Yeah.
Before we get to specifics as it relates to Washington at 29, real quickly, two things. One, do you think Trey Hendrickson gets dealt, you know, either before Thursday, during Thursday, shortly after Thursday, or do you think he stays in Cincinnati?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard much on it lately, but it's a good question to ask because, I mean, you know, we have a first round where no first round picks have been traded, which hasn't happened, I believe, in the common draft era. So, you know, teams don't have that extra sort of, you know, cachet to go up there and trade a pick without feeling like, okay, you know, our options are limited. I mean, maybe a team like Arizona, if they feel like, you know, they don't have the right prospect, but they want that edge rusher to solidify their defense. But then Cincinnati has to say, okay, we're willing to do that. To this point, I haven't sensed that there's a strong urgency from them because they've set the price tag pretty darn high. It would have to be a first-round pick and more, at least according to their asking price not long ago. So, boy, I would say probably not. But then again, had you asked me if A.J. Brown was going to be traded on draft day a couple years ago, I would have said, I don't think so. So you never know. That's why, you know, that I'm sure a team like Philly that has been kind of lying in the weeds a little bit this offseason, everyone's waiting for Howie to make that big, you know, Python move for somebody like that.
And then the other non-draft question, the quarterback carousel has not stopped moving because Aaron Rodgers is still out there and Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback and yet they have DK Metcalf and they've got Pickens. So what happens, what are the quarterback moves left before we get to training camp?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. Obviously, the draft has some real moving parts there. You know, we know Cam Ward's going to be the first pick, but who's the next one off the board? You know, New Orleans, obviously, their situation. I don't think they take a quarterback at 9, even though my final mock put Shedeur Sanders there. You know, I think they'll find another way to get one, but I'm not sure how they do that. Cleveland and the Giants, too, even if they pass on them at 2 and 3, I think they're coming back for one as well. You know, there's the whole Kirk Cousins thing to figure out. But then, you know, I don't know if he's a real option in Pittsburgh if Aaron Rodgers just says, all right, I'm hanging out in Malibu for the season or whatever. So, yeah, there's a lot to figure out. Those are the kind of the big teams right now that I think they have the most to figure out. And then I would throw in the Falcons, depending on what they do with Cousins or whether they can realistically carry that salary and, you know, whether somebody even wants him on the roster if there's a fit. I mean, Pittsburgh would make sense just from, like, there are some connections there, but obviously, you know, you'd have to figure out the compensation and how much salary Atlanta's going to have to swallow. So those are probably the big things right now. And after hearing Rodgers the other day, I couldn't tell you which way he's leaning or not leaning. I really have no idea how to read that. So Pittsburgh is almost, I don't want to say locked into taking a quarterback, but pretty darn backed into a corner a little bit.
Talking to Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Well, just real quickly, and we'll focus on Washington in a second, but your latest mock, you've got 4 quarterbacks going in the first round. And the last one is the most fascinating to me. But you just said you don't know if New Orleans is going to pick him, and yet your mock has Shedeur Sanders going to New Orleans, and then you've got Jackson Dart going to Pittsburgh at 21.
Yeah.
What's the issue with Shedeur Sanders? Why is the NFL not nearly as impressed as mock drafters have been over the last couple of months?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think I have him as my 33rd overall prospect, so there's a limit to what I think he can be, but there's also a pretty good floor. I mean, I think he's a tough kid. I think he's smart. He's got good football instincts and intelligence, good accuracy, can throw on the move. You know, I mean, after his pro day, I was impressed with how he threw the deep ball. I know that's only, you know, a sliver of the evaluation. There's only so much you can say from that, but still, you know, I mean, I don't know that the ceiling is sky high for him, and he's got a little bit of a smaller frame. He doesn't have a rocket arm, but he's creative, tough. You know, I mean, he's got the accuracy you're looking for, I think, on short and intermediate passes, and he can make some plays downfield too. So, you know, again, I mean, I wouldn't say that there's this amazing skill set like you think Deion Sanders and his DNA. You think you're getting some incredible athletic specimen.
Yeah.
That's not really the case, though. So, you know, and then there's the Sanders name. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's, you know, sullied in the NFL. Of course not. But, you know, you get a Deion's kid, you're going to get a little something extra, a little lanyap, you know what I mean? So it's kind of every organization is going to have to decide, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that going to fit us or is it not? And that maybe eliminates some teams from the equation who are a little bit more, you know, conservative, or the coach doesn't necessarily buy into it or whatever. So, yeah, there's been a number of factors. It's just one of those quarterback classes where everybody's got some kind of warts on them.
Look, part of what you're going to get when you draft Shedeur Sanders is, if the team doesn't do well, well, let's bring in Deion to coach the team.
Yep.
So that's part of it. Now, your fourth quarterback, I've followed all the discussion about this guy. Tell everybody who you have the Giants trading back into the first round to take and why.
Yeah, I've got Jalen Milroe, and I, you know, maybe the Browns are more infatuated by him, or maybe they're willing to sit back and take a Tyler Shuck, but it wouldn't totally shock me. Now, Milroe's going to be at the draft in Green Bay. That only means so much. He could last the Friday. I'm not saying he's guaranteed to go in the first 32 picks, but if there is this kind of rat race to find the last piece of cheese, so to speak, and you know, you have a setup with Russ Wilson on a one-year deal, a modest one-year deal. You know, you have Jameis Winston kind of as the backup, the true number two. You could afford to take somebody like Jalen Milroe and take a risk, and you actually get instant returns from it too because of his running ability. I mean, I wouldn't imagine they'd be scared to take Russ off the field, although you could accuse the Steelers of that with Justin Fields last year. They didn't really take advantage of the two quarterback thing, but maybe the Giants are in such a desperation for scoring points, for adding excitement, for whatever, that they'd be willing to incorporate him into their run game and get him on the field early and kind of develop him on the side with Wilson taking the majority of the snaps. It's just a scenario that I could envision. And then you've got, you know, a couple teams late in the first round who I think would be willing to deal out around one, Minnesota being one of them. So, you know, I hadn't heard any specific buzz on that one, but it made sense on paper, so I put it down.
Is Jalen Milroe, I mean, obviously the comp is Lamar Jackson, but I actually think he's less polished than Lamar Jackson was as a passer, a lot less polished, but do they think that Milroe's running dual threat ability is greater than Lamar's? Because I think it's like equal.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, no, I mean, I heard Daniel Jeremiah the other day, and I thought, you know, it gave as strong a compliment as I've heard anybody give Milroe for his running, which is he is an elite, elite, elite runner. I think that was Daniel's quote, and he basically said that he might be as fast, if not faster than Lamar, and as good a runner coming out as Lamar was. So, yeah, you're right about the passing equation. I mean, that I think he's got the arm, he's got the natural throwing ability, the athleticism, he's a tough kid, he's built pretty well and all that. I mean, leadership, you know, the those things you can't quantify. I think Alabama, you know, gave a pretty sterling review of him when scouts came through, understanding that he needs a lot of work. So, yeah, I mean, he's different than Lamar. I mean, Lamar had an innate control of the game that he could manipulate with both his arm and his legs. I don't think Milroe's at that point yet, and his arm is way too scattershot and for that to be the case right now.
Yeah, I remember because at the time I was doing the show with Chris Cooley, and Cooley said, and he was phenomenal as an analyst in looking at the draft, and he said, Lamar's the best running back in this draft. Of course, that pissed people off. He said, I'm not telling you that he can't play quarterback, but he would be the best running back in this draft. And I think Milroe would be right up there, maybe not with Genty, but he'd be in the mix for the second best running back in the draft. That would be interesting to see him at that position, but obviously they're going to look at him as a dual threat quarterback. All right, let's move to Washington at 29. We don't have to worry about a quarterback around here anymore, Eric.
Right.
Which is nice. And we're drafting the latest ever in the history of the franchise in terms of it, of their own pick. Because the last time they were, you know, finished this well, there were only 28 teams in the league. So they're picking 29th. Overall, I'll let you share with everybody who you have mocked to Washington, but give me the possibilities that you considered.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at edge rusher. I looked at cornerback. You know, I even considered a wide receiver, thought about it. You know, Mekhi Bugo was somebody who I thought could be a good fit there. You know, I would say that those are probably the three positions that I looked hardest at. Tell me who I gave him. I can't even remember at this point, to be honest.
You gave Azaraku, the defensive end from
BC. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I was going to say, I knew I made a switch there at the end. Yeah, so I think I gave him a corner originally and then switched to Azaraku. So, yeah, I mean, he's got pretty good length. I know he's not tall, but the 34-inch arms help. He's not a super big guy, but boy, he plays with really good pace and control up front and uses that length to keep blockers off him and found his way into the backfield consistently. I mean, you know, I've heard a number of teams really like him. I think they're hoping he kind of slides to day two, the first few picks around two. That's kind of the word that I'd gotten on him in the last week or so. But I do think there's a chance he could be a first-round pick somewhere in that, you know, the late 20s or early 30s. So, you know, his character really stood out during the interview process. I think coaches felt like this is a really mature guy, so that would obviously fit well in a, you know, in a team-first environment that Dan's built there. And so another competitive player on the edge. I certainly could see them going in a different direction. It's really hard to predict those late first-rounders this year, especially, you know, when you have a draft pool where the 13th player and the 43rd player are not all that vastly different grade-wise.
On the edges, do you have an idea as to where sort of the number that go in the first round, and like, is Azaraku maybe the last guy worthy of the first round? We know that Pierce Jr., there's a ton of red flag stuff on him with respect to work ethic, etc. Mike Green's got some of that too, but his talent is ridiculous. But how many edge guys do you think most teams have a first-round grade on?
Yeah, that number, if you include the interior guys, you could have double digits. But well, yeah. The edge guys might end up being 6 or 7 or something like that. You're right about the kind of the character and work ethic and focus questions on some of these guys. I mean, especially Pierce, who, you know, I think you could look at and argue has top 15 type talent.
Yep.
But there are some work ethic questions there. And, you know, he's a long rangy guy with the speed to get in the backfield. You know, both Ohio State kids performed incredibly well this year. The Arkansas guy, Landon Jackson, I think is a really intriguing player. You know, there's a number of guys too. I think Nick Scorton was going to be a first round pick prior to last year. I mean, he was sort of,
yeah,
you know, a special player, but gained too much weight, really kind of fell out of favor a little bit last year. And man, I mean, you could make a case for like 10 of these guys being first round picks in a given year. So yeah, I think it's probably closer to 7, maybe 8, but yeah, it's going to be a first round dominated by offensive and defensive linemen this year.
All right, give me, you know, last two questions. Give me the first round projected guy who is your favorite player, and then give me somebody a little bit. I mean, you put Jalen Milroe in the first round, but give me another player that you're convinced you're going to be right about that no one really is projecting first round right now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I kind of had a little throwaway line at the end of my mock and said, you know, the Rams love Brock Bowers. I wouldn't be shocked if they saw Mason Taylor still here at 26. Now, I haven't seen Mason Taylor in a lot of mock drafts, but I can't remember the last if I saw one in a first-round mock draft, but there could be a third tight end in round one. I wouldn't be totally shocked by that. I think, you know, the question is, do you have that next level as a prospect? You know, some people sort of view him as the steady Eddie type, and, you know, yeah, he's only 20 years old. He'll be 21 next week, but yeah, I mean, I could see him being a surprise. I've heard some Carson Schwessinger buzz, possible late first rounder. I don't know if I'm buying that. Again, a team like the Rams who go off the map a little bit, I wouldn't be shocked by. You know, so it's possible the way he tested to possibly be a sleeper first rounder. I don't know if there's that, like, totally out of nowhere, pick, but those are a couple that I haven't really seen a lot in first rounds that, yeah, for the right team, I could absolutely see them kind of sneaking in. My favorite, I mean, it's the two guys at the top. It's Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. I mean, look, I know that's sort of chalky and easy to say, but, I mean, they really are the true blue-chip prospects in this class, and the guys who are not necessarily above reproach, but, like, they're the cream of the crop. So I can see why there's been calls up to the top two or three, even if they don't end up coming to true.
Do you think one last one, because I'm going to talk, and I did a bunch of stuff on the edges, because at Washington, the odds are, because there's so many of them and Washington has a need, that the best player available at 29 would be an edge. So I think you went in the right direction. Good. I mean, it could be a corner. It could be an offensive lineman, Eric. But I think Abdul Carter is really good, but I don't think he's Myles Garrett. I actually don't even think he's the prospect that Chase Young was coming out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, different player, obviously. Yeah, I mean, he's not as, like, rare specimen, physically blessed to that degree. Like, Garrett and Young were in that 270 range, and they had the freaky long arms and all that. This is more of a Micah Parsons, Von Miller-style rusher. And, again, I know I'm invoking two pretty big names there, but that also reflects what I think of him. He was playing hurt, so a lot of people saw him in the playoff game and said, well, he kind of got locked up a little bit.
He was great playing hurt. Yeah.
But also, yeah, I mean, you also saw some great stuff from him. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think he's a warrior out there. Maybe he doesn't quite reach the Parsons heights, but I think he's that kind of style of rusher who can play linebacker and roam around and wreak havoc.
I know you're busy this week, so it's much appreciated that you gave us some time. Thanks. Hope you're well, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. Hopefully, things go in an exciting way for you guys.
Eric Edholm, everybody, from NFL Network, NFL.com. He put out his mock draft 3.0 yesterday, and I thought it was interesting that Jalen Milroe, that the Giants traded back into the first round to take Jalen Milroe. He's such an intriguing prospect, but you're going to have to commit if you use him to playing football the way Baltimore decided to play football, which you can play that way now. But I'm telling you that Lamar Jackson, even though he was unpolished as a passer coming out, he was much more polished coming out of Louisville than Jalen Milroe is coming out of Bama as a passer. But if the Giants drafted Jalen Milroe, and you had him in the backfield. Now, they got Russ. They got Winston. But you put him, you know, in a backfield with Tyrone Tracy, who I think was actually a legit, you know, back last year as a rookie. They still have Devin Singletary, I'm pretty sure they have. Malik Nabers is out there. I mean, you're running dual threat. Your quarterback's going to rush the ball 15 times a game. And he is an elite-level runner. That would be interesting to see him go in the first round. And again, he had Washington taking Boston College defensive end edge Donovan Azaraku. All right. The case for two Donovans for Washington when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.